Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Paperback Reader. It's your book buddy, Joe. It's been a while. I hope you've had good things happen in your life and good literature in front of your face. So, last I left off, I finished actually three books. So, I think all three of them are, well, actually two out of three, a solid two out of three of them are legit recommendations. So we'll start with Hell's Angels by Hunter S. Thompson. Father of Gonzo Journalism. I read other works of his, but this was his first one that came out in 1966, and it was just a really iconoclastic at the time, and it shocked America, and it set the tone for his career. And so I had these high, wild expectations, because if you've ever read any Hunter S. Thompson, you know that it's just an excess of all types of vice and reflection. So, but what stood out to me is actually that in, you know, it's 54 years since it was published, how actually it was just kind of everything that had shocked America about the Hells Angels would be considered passé by 2020 standards. I mean, no doubt the violence would shock people, but just with the internet, I don't know. I'm not an expert, and I'm not gonna try to diagnose things, but you know, the exploits were less than, you know, they're horrible. But yeah, it's just a different time. The shock value isn't what it was 54 years ago. And the other thing I noticed is how actually acute his eye was at the Hell's Angels, just really trying to monetize their notoriety as much as they possibly could. Because from, you know, the sociological background is they're usually working class or just poor. And the notoriety from the national press, Thompson pointed out, was really driving them to try to figure out ways to monetize themselves, which is interesting because that foreshadows today's ambitions amongst people who want to be influencers. But I digress. So, you know, I would say if you're going to read something by Hunter S. Thompson, just Fear and Loathing. Fear and Loathing on the campaign trail, Fear and Loathing in Vegas. I think those are much more entertaining and just fun to read. This one, Hell's Angels, you know, like I said, it doesn't shock because it takes a whole lot to shock someone in 2020. Okay, so the next book I finished after that was The Turner House by Angela Flournoy. And I picked it for a couple reasons. It was a runner-up for the National Book Award. It was a finalist. And it's local. For me, it's set, you know, relatively close. The setting's Detroit. It's about a family, a large family. And I was truly impressed with the her attention to nuance and detail about Metro Detroit that I was like wowed. I haven't been that wowed since Middlesex by Jeffrey Eugenides. Not wild in that they're both, they're completely different, but that they both use Detroit and Metro Detroit as the setting. And when you see a place you know in a book, it's like, wow, that they're that's yeah, it's it, so that was pretty cool. And it's a family story, and it resonated with me, not only because the setting is the same as where I'm from, just the plot is about the various relationships amongst family members, because if you come from a large family, the dynamics for every member are completely different, because every member in a family after the other person's born changes the family dynamic. And so the person, this is just my observation, you're the sibling that is older than you is going to remember a family life radically different than anything you can imagine when you start recording your own memories of the family. And so that book, it really did a good job weaving that into the plot. So I would recommend that. And the third book I would recommend, I was like, wow, this is why it won the Pulitzer Prize winner of 2006. It's called March by Geraldine Brooks. And it's an interesting thematic tool that authors have used in the past, is where they'll take a fictional character who's largely absent from a masterpiece and then write a novel about that person. In this case, it's the father from Little Women. He's a chaplain, so he's Chaplain March, and he goes on, in Little Women, he's absent. That's one of the whole key fact, that they're on their own. So she develops a whole, what would have happened to this guy if he would have, his own life during concurrently with the lives of what's going on with the women in Little Women. But it's interesting that, I've seen books that have done this before and I didn't like it. And I have to say, this was well done. She really gets you. She writes incredibly vivid scenes of the battles, just a really great job. And other books that have done this would be the Good Lord Bird. That won the National Book Prize and Pulitzer, I think. But basically, it's a fictionalized account of this kid who goes along with John Brown. And there's also the Wide Sargasso Sea, which I didn't really get into, but I read because it was on that 100 list. So books, to me, it's always it's interesting, and it appeals to me as an interesting challenge. Another one would be Ahab's Wife. I did read that. That one was pretty good, but that was incredibly original. The opening to that book always stuck with me, because it opens with this lady talking about how, Ahab, this famous captain, wasn't his first husband, and it wasn't even her second. And so, you never think of Ahab at all, except the one-legged man maniacally pursuing Moby Dick. But this book, Ahab's wife, she pitches this character. And it's fascinating as a literary challenge, to me at least. But March, Geraldine Brooks, I thought it was fantastic. It deserves all the awards it got. It really, it well done. She really didn't rely on Mary Louise Alcott's cult of that book, and I don't mean that pejoratively. I'm just saying that book has a huge following. It has for the past 150 years. So it didn't rely on that at all. So yeah, those are the three that I finished, and they've I worked my way through that tome of War and Peace. Now in the epilogue, the end is in sight. 80 pages of epilogue, and I feel bonded with this book, and I think that happens with me anytime I read a book that has 750 or more pages. But in my mind's eye, in my thinking, like if people wanna, book drop about things they've read, and person A is says they read the Brother Karamazov, and person B was like, I read War and Peace. Like, person A has my, I'm like, he did, that's much more work, more, like, I'm not diminishing Tolstoy, he's great now, but I think, for some reason, I feel like, one of the easiest ways to be pretentious is to talk about a book that's large and nobody's read. And I'm gonna say I read both of them, and I'm impressed by the person who can read Karamazov versus War and Peace. And it's not, and it's not anything about the storytelling. It's really just the depth of language. Just Dostoevsky has a depth of language, and really deeply imbues psychological characteristics into his characters. Really depends a lot on the inner life of the characters to propel things along. Tolstoy, things happen to the characters. And then he says, because it's in a good Christian universe and a good Christian, but I digress once again. 80 more pages, and I'll tell you about the epilogue. So, yeah. If you're gonna read Hunter S. Thompson, I'm gonna say go with the Fear and Loathings. Turner House, Angela Flournoy, fantastic. Same with March by Geraldine Brooks. Right now, I'm working my way through The Sympathizer, which is fucking fantastic. Okay, my friends, I hope you're well. I hope you're wearing a mask. I hope you're washing your hands. And keep your head in the book, your face behind a mask, and your foot out of the gutter. Till next time.